b'meizah. This is an accident. They push an isha hara, a pregnant woman, the yatzu yiladecha, and her child, the fetus. She has a miscarriage due to the impact. V'lo yihye osayin, and the woman is alive. Osayin, there is no tragedy. It's a very unusual word. Nothing tragic happens to the woman. What is the halacha? Anosh yonesh. The halacha is that the person who was fighting and hit her shall be punished. How much shall he pay? Kasher yoshis lo balhu isha, depending on how much is set upon him by the husband of the woman. V'nosan bifli lim, and he will give the money in court according to the lashon of bifli lim, is based on the decision of the judges. It's these words over here, this pasuk, are very difficult from beginning to end. The whole scenario is in general a very bizarre story, which you would never expect to find it written in the Torah. This is something that you would extrapolate. Torah would only tell, you know, the basic rules. And something like this is something which you on your own, you have to extrapolate. And people come with questions if a milchig spoon falls into a pot. You can have literally 1,000 scenarios. Torah is not going to list you the scenarios. Torah gives you, in fact, 0 scenarios. It just says, don't eat basa b'chalaf. Figure it out. You figure out all the situations, all the possibilities. Torah is going to spell out for you one convoluted case where it wasn't Ben Yomo and it was Yatzeledes, not Yatzeledes, boss of this. I mean, the Torah does not stand the business of giving you all Hechatimsis. So this case over here is a Shail of Chesha Mishpat. A person, two people are fighting, one person tries to hit the fellow, and instead he accidentally shoves into a woman who happens to be walking down the street, and she's in the wrong place at the wrong time, and she gets shoved, and then she has a miscarriage. And she's alive, nothing happened to her, but the baby, the fetus, was aborted. So now, the person that's responsible has to pay. How much does he pay? This is very bizarre. Kasher yoshis la balu isha. The amount that he pays depends on how much the husband of this woman sets upon him. What does that mean? Okay? And he will give the money in court. In the English, not that we take the English too seriously, but it says that when men fight, and one of them pushes a pregnant woman, and a miscarriage results, but no other damage ensues. That's a little strange, why he says that. Because v'lo yeh osoin, osoin usually, the way we learn this in Rashi, means then there's no death. No one died. Because if someone died, then there would be the principle of kimlei bederaba minei. The person is chayiv misa. So once the chayiv misa, there's no chayiv mamayin. And there doesn't allude to that in this English translation, which, anyway, we're not subject to but no other damage ensues. The one responsible shall be fined according as the woman's husband may exact from him. What does that mean? The payment to be based on reckoning. That's how it translates with bifli lim. Okay, let's right away jump first to the Unkelus, then we'll go to Rashi and we'll come back. Unkelus havare yinsum. Yinsum means to fight. It's a good fist fight. Guvrin, men. Notice it says Anoshim. What happens if women are fighting? Does the halacha not apply if we never saw women fight? They also fight. They also can punch at each other. Here it says there are two men that are fighting. The Yimchun Itisa and the Yimchun. Now the word Yimchun is a very bizarre word for the Nagifu. We usually translate the Nagifu as to push. You push a button. And here it says word v'yimchun. V'yimchun means lashon of machui, dissolve, like the marble. The marble came and the marble dissolved all living creatures on this world. That's an interesting word we have to pay attention to. Ma'adya. V'yimchun itisa ma'adya. What does ma'adya here mean? It means obviously her the child, which the fetus, which is also an unusual word. Normally it's called an ubar. In Ubar, what's this word ma'adya? V'yipkun valdo. Okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. V'yimchun itisa ma'adya. Ma'adya means a pregnant woman. Is that what it really means? Ma'adya, is that the correct word for pregnancy? We have to see. V'yipkun valdo. And the baby comes out. That's interesting. Okay, that's a literal translation. V'yotsu yilodeha. V'yipkun valdo. V'lo yihei mosa. us. So here, already getting down to something we really appreciate, there is no death. Again, the English, again, we don't have any obligation to pay attention to this English, because I have no idea who wrote this English, and it's highly suspect. But he, it says, no other damage ensues. Okay? I don't know where they got that from. It says here the word osoin is death. Velo yehe mosa. Who would have died? Who would have died? The person, the man that Reuven was fighting with Shimon. Shimon died? Is that what we're referring to? Or are we referring to the woman? She died. Let's see. Isgivo yiskebe, collection. Now, that's very interesting, because that's not what it says. It says here, onosh ye onesh. That literally means punishment. And yet, we're taking the word onosh ye onesh to mean a collection service will be engaged. Our collection agency will come and come demand payment. A collection will be done. Based upon the that will be set by the husband of this woman, and it will be given through the word of the judges. And notice over here, the assessment appears to be being made. It doesn't say who makes the evaluation. Okay, so let's see over there. So for obviously the word biflilim means lashon of a judge, biflilim, and that's why, by the way, tefillah, prayer, is vayifalel. We say yispalel, but the word biflilim is related to the word that we use for prayer, because when a person is praying to Hashem, he's really doing judgment. There's a bit of mishpat. What's the mishpat? He's judging himself. He's in a certain way trying to acknowledge that Hashem is judging him. Okay, the word for prayer relates to this word, biflilim, pilel, vayifalel Pinchas, vayifalel. There are other words in Tanakh of pilel. It means to pray, and the word pray, all the commentators, when they want to define the word prayer, what it really means, they come to this pasuk, and this pasuk says biflilim, and here it's used for a judge, mishpat, evaluation, and the secret to the meaning of prayer is found in the word over here, pilelim, which we'll come to in a moment. Fine. Okay, this is what it says over here. Now let's go take a look over the Rashi. And then we'll have to go backwards and try to get a greater appreciation of what the Targum is trying to do. So we start out, and of course, Mr. Rappaport, we're just doing Rashi. I know there are 1,000 commentators here that will tell many even Perushim, but let's just try over here to see how Rashi wants to learn Pshan this Pasuk. And then go back to Targum with the assumption that the Targum is writing a commentary on Rashi. The Targum is not writing a commentary on any other Mefarish. The Rashi is not writing a commentary on the Ramban. The Ramban came long after Rashi. So Rashi is going on the Targum. So there's definitely a relationship between the two, like none of the other commentators. And here we go. There are two men that are fighting with one another. So first we have to appreciate what Rashi is telling us over here. Maybe if you do not have this Rashi, you can argue that there are two men, there are people that are fighting, and they're fighting with other men. There's a war going on. There's a war. There's two men, Reuven and Shimon, and they are fighting with Yisachar and Zevulun. Right? So there's Reuven and Shimon, they're both on the same team, and they're fighting against Yisachar and Zevulun. No, Rashi, that's not the case. The case is Reuven is fighting with Shimon. Okay, that's number one. Reuven, we're only dealing here with two people, Reuven and Shimon. We're not dealing with a team that is fighting against another imaginary team that's not mentioned in the pasuk. Ze im ze. V'nischavein la'akos eschavei, Raviko eso isha. Reuven's intent is to hit Shimon, and by accident, this is an accident. This is not premeditated murder or attempt of murder. He accidentally hits this woman. Okay, there is a stray bullet. He aims for Reuven, and instead the stray bullet goes towards this woman. V'nokvu, ein negifa el l'shem d'chifa v'hako'ah. So immediately, rationally he says, let me tell you what this word means. Don't be intimidated by any of the commentaries. I'm going to set the record straight for you. The word negifa means to push, to shove. It doesn't mean anything else. Kmo, like it says, pen tigoif be'evin raglecha, which in that context, in Tehillim means, maybe you will be injured. Your foot will be injured by a stone, which means a stone will push your foot. A stone will be pressed against you. So in that context, Awela means, it will be, Rashi explains it, we use another pasuk, b'terem yisnagfu raglechem, before your feet are pushed. They're injured. The injury over here is because a stone was pressed against them. Ule'eve negef, a stone that pushes. Okay, so the word d'chifa hakah, it's not just a pushing, it is a hakah, it is a forceful push which results in an injury. Okay, next. V'lo yihye osa. Now this word of Rashi over here is extremely, extremely important in defining the story. We first have to establish what happened. What are the facts? Before we get into halacha, we have to know, the first question is, explain to me exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. I remember I think I was in sixth grade or seventh grade. And I think about this every so often. I was in class and there was no teacher. I don't know what happened. And the kids were just wild and running around. And there was chaos. And then, I don't know, there was something happened in the front of the classroom. I have no recollection of what it was. All I remember was that in the middle of this chaos, I picked up something from the floor and I put it on the board. Like, you know, the chalkboard, and they have a sill. And during this chaos, I was just standing around there and I picked something from the floor and I picked it up and I put it back. I put it on the sill. And then, I don't know, something bad happened. I don't know what happened. And the principal came. And they were being doirish v'choyker for like 20 minutes. Questioning this. Then all of a sudden, the principal calls me and says, wait a minute, your name was mentioned in this... What do you know happened? I said, I have no idea. All I know is that there was an object that came my way, and I just picked it up and I put it on the sill. And then they all broke out and, now we understand what happened. It was the one piece of information that was missing that Shady was struggling to figure out what happened. Who was responsible? And they were missing one teeny piece of information. And when I revealed that one piece of information, that I picked up this object and put it on the board, everything to them made sense. I have no idea what happened, but I saw the look on their faces. Now they understand. If you don't know the facts, you can't make a decision. Over here, this pasuk is telling us a very complicated story. And because the Torah is so mekatzer, it's so terse, you can interpret this story in a million different ways. There's so many details here. And Rashi is going through the story very carefully to tell us the facts. And only when we know the facts can we then know what the halacha is. It says, V'chi yinotzu anoshim. Rashi makes it very clear. They're fighting with each other. Don't be misled to think they're fighting with someone else. Because if they're fighting with someone else, that may change the dynamics of what the halacha will be. They're fighting with each other. V'nokfu. Ishahara, the word v'nagfu means a woman was hit by a fist. Nagfu means you take an object and you push it with force against another object. Don't come up with other translations, which other commentators do have other translations. An ishahara, woman is pregnant. V'yatzi lo'adach, she has a miscarriage. V'lo ye'asayin, what does it mean? It means the woman did not... Nothing happened to her. She is not the one who died. We're not discussing what happened to the two men that were fighting with each other. This wound that touched her and caused her child to come out did not cause her to die. Then it says, now, onosh ye onesh, punishment. What is a punishment? So here we come. L'shalem d'mei v'lodes l'baal. To pay the value of the fetus to the husband. What does the husband have to do with this? What does he have to do with this? Shaman oisa kam oisa ruuya limacher b'shuk lehaalois b'damecha b'shvil heryoina. So Rashi explains what it means labal. If this woman would have been sold in the market, she would fetch two different prices depending on if she's pregnant or not pregnant. A woman who's pregnant is worth more. Why is she worth more? Because she comes with the advantage that she'll have a child. And the child will also be a slave. You sell a person, you get two for one. You get two for one. You're getting the woman plus the child. Obviously, you have to take into consideration the fact that the mother is going to be, you have to pay to raise the child. You know, you have to pay for tuition, whatever you have to pay. But obviously, having two is greater than having one. So it says over here, what is the difference? He now has reduced this woman from being a woman that is a child to a woman that does not have a child. So therefore, that money is going to be paid to who? To the husband. Not to her. Why not to her? Mashakoni isha kona baila. A whole new principle. New principle. Does it say this over here anywhere in the Torah so far? That a woman's value, this is not a very popular topic in the 21st century. Talk like this. But the Torah says that a woman's value, the money that she gains goes to her husband. It goes to his account. You don't pay her, you pay her husband. That's what it says. Rashi repeats, Yigbu Mamon Mimenu Kimo the Onshu Oisome Kesef. How do you know the word Onosh means money? Maybe what Onosh means that they'll give him Malkois, they'll hit him, they'll do something else to him. No, we have a precedent, Joshua. It says what Onosh also means money. Here it means money as well. Now here comes the hard part. Kasher Yoshisalov Kishayit Boenu Habal Bebezdin Lehoshis Olof Oinish Alkach. Okay, so this is very important, Rashi. Rashi, what you're saying is you don't do this out of court. Kasher Yoshis Olof, Rashi is injecting an enormous amount of commentary into this passage. Yoshis Olof, he learns when a claim is made. A legal claim is made in court. The claim cannot be, you know, let's not call the police. Person has a fender bender, right? So what happens sometimes? A fender bender, you know, let's not call the police. Let's settle it among ourselves. That's 99% of the time a disaster when you try to do that. Person gets into a fender bender, call the police. You must have a record. Call the police. You can't even begin to imagine the bulbulim people can make up at a later point in time. They taught us this, us in driver's ed 100 years ago. There's even a small little fender bender, it is worthy to call the police. You may have to waste your whole day now until they'll show up, because it's the last thing they want to come for, to go fight over a teeny little fender bender. But it's absolutely necessary, because if you don't go do it through them, later the guy can say a hit and run. Who knows what they can make up bulbulim like can't even begin to imagine. So here's exactly hafeichba the kulaba. The husband, this man is guilty. He caused a miscarriage. The husband, the pasuk says, kasher, you want money, you want to receive money for the damages. You do it the right way. You go to court, to Bezdin. You tell them what happened, you bring proof, and the court then will punish the perpetrator with a penalty of money, which they will decide. So he's learning the very important words, kasher yoshis olav. The word yoshis here is a very interesting word. Yoshis means you will set. And in the context of this pasuk, what does it mean to set? Like shosli elokim is zera acher. Hashem gave me. There's a putting in motion, and in the context of this pasuk, the putting in motion comes through going to court, testifying, bring proof exactly what happened. The husband will go to court. He should not approach the person. The husband should not approach the perpetrator directly. The husband should go to court with proof, tell them what happened. And then the court will then go to that person and say, you now have to pay damages. So the word kasher yoshes alav balu isha, the one that goes to court is the husband, not the wife. By the way, why can't the woman go herself to court? In America, do it yourself. You have to go send your husband. Do it yourself. Obviously, that's also a lesson. And who gave the husband permission to go? Who's on the, you're not my baal dover. You're not my baal dover. The woman is my baal. Let the woman come to court. No, Torah says a husband is by definition an extension of his wife. He has the full right to come to court and to testify what happened. And the court then will go and make the claim to the perpetrator. That's all in Rashi. There's an enormous amount of commentary in this Rashi. The word yoshis means kishe yitba enu habal bebezdin. Lehoshis alof, to set upon him oinesh al kach, a penalty for what he has done. He caused his wife to lose his child. He's also a baal dover because it's his child. V'nosan, then it says hamake, the perpetrator, the dmei vlodos, which we already explained to mean the difference of how much a woman is worth in the market before and after. Biflilim, this means al pi hadayonim. The word biflilim comes with pilel. Pilel means to judge. It means mishpat. And when it's used in this form, this context, it means the amount of money will be decided by professionals being the judges. And it's the Mechilta. The Mechilta is the source of the Gemara. All the discussion of the Mishnayis and the Gemara all comes from the Mechilta. The Mechilta is the earliest recording of Torah Sheval Peh. Okay, now, with all of that in mind, we have more clarity now. He knows one another, they fight one another. V'nagfu isha hara, and a guy tries to punch Shimon, instead the punch landed on the woman, and she's pregnant. And v'yatsu yilodecha, the consequence was she loses the child. V'lo yi'asa, but she's alive. She's alive. Anosh yonesh, money. Kesef, money. How much? Bezdin decides. You don't decide. Kasher yoshes ala balu isha. The Baal HaIsha, he goes to court, he tells the court what happened, the court then legally, formally presents the claim to this person, and then he has to pay. The Nosan, he will give biflilim based upon their evaluation. Based upon the evaluation. Now, let's now go back and try to appreciate more what the Targum said. Targum, go back to the Targum here. Oops, what happened here? I lost the Targum. Okay, the Targum Ungulus says, Vare yinsun guvrin. Okay. Oh, the lights went out. One second. Are yinsun guvrin tuberafanim v'yimchun itisa. Now, this is an interesting word, v'yimchun. Does the word v'yimchun itisa ma'adia? Does the word v'yimchun is the Targum agreeing with Rashi? I should go look it up. I didn't prepare for this. I have the safe in the other room. Maybe I'll get in a second. We'll see. Okay, let's put it aside for now. Maybe and maybe not. V'yimchun, does it mean to push? Okay, isha ma'adia, I'm assuming means a woman who's pregnant. V'yipkun valdo'on, the child comes out. And the child comes out. V'lo yehe mosa, and there is no death. It's a little bit vague, Unculus, if the death here refers to the woman, or I'm sure there are other commentators that say the one that died here may have been Shimon. Like, in other words, what would be the halacha in this case? Reuven hits Shimon. He hits him. And Shimon falls down. And as he falls down, he pushes, a ricochet. It goes, and Shimon goes down, he hits another woman. He hits this pregnant woman, and she loses her child. So Reuven's punch killed, let's say, Reuven's punch, a double effect. And let's say actually Reuven killed Shimon. Would Reuven then be chayiv to pay the dinei v'lodos? So I think the answer is no, because that will be the halacha of kom le bidarabamine. when a person is chayev misa, he is exempt from paying monetary damages.
Is that on a different act, though? By killing, if he had killed Shimon and...
it's the same maisa. It's the same maisa.
Impact of individual, no?
Oh, so you after that, then you get into a story, was it a grommel or a garmi? Okay, then you ask me, let's say, how direct was it, when he punched Shimon, was that punch of Shimon directly affecting the woman, or it was indirect? You're right, there are different scenarios. Let's say he pulls the trigger on a weapon, on a gun. So we know that a weapon, a bullet can go through many people. A bullet can go through your intended victim, and then it can go out of the person's body and kill someone else. So then, with one bullet, he killed two people. So would he have to pay for the... Well, let's say the bullet went into the woman and only killed the child. So does he have to pay for the bullet? There's one mice, one act. Your one act resulted in two events. Then you wouldn't have to... Then there would be kamlei b'drabamine. But the example that I gave you, the way I just presented the case, is where Reuven killed Shimon. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, Reuven, there's no osin to the Isha. Rashi would seem to say that we don't care what happens to Shimon. If Shimon dies, so what? So you get punished for Shimon. And the Isha, you also have to pay. Like you're saying, Mr. Rapport, it's two separate people. Okay, so the Targum doesn't really seem to help us. The Targum is a bit vague. V'lo yehei moysa, there's no death. The Targum is very vague. He's not getting into the nitty-gritty. The Targum just leaves it out. Rashi's in agreement. Rashi over here says Onosh ye onesh means Onosh ye onesh means Mama, you pay the money. And Kmod di Yeshavi Alohi Ba'alod Itisa. How much rent does he pay? Based upon Yeshavi. Now this I think is where there's a difference in Rashi and Unglis. Yeshavi is he set the word Yeshavi means to set the Ba'alo Ditisa. The Yitin it will be given Al Meimar Da Yonaya. How do you read that? Rashi went out of his way to say the husband does not get involved whatsoever. The husband just goes to court and he tells the court what happened, and the court takes over. Over here, maybe that's what Unkelus means, could very well be. But Unkelus is a little bit vague. Unkelus says, Kamadi Yeshavi Alohi Ba'alo Ditisa. The husband of this woman will set upon him. That's how much money he's going to collect, and it shall be given al meimar on the word of the court. Maybe it's just Rashi just elaborating. This is what Targum means to say. All right, I don't know. We can go. I don't have the sefer here in front of me now. Let's take some to get it. So let's go. We're not really finished yet because we have now part two. So maybe let's just see part two, and then maybe we'll have more clarity. Let's go to the next pasuk. Maybe we'll get more clarity. Let's say there will be death. Then v'nasato nefesh tachas nefesh. Unkelis v'imosa yehei. Then v'sitei nafsha cholof nafsha. Will be a life for a life. Rashi v'im ason yehei again. Rashi emphasizes if the woman dies, then v'nasato nefesh tachas nefesh. Rabbi said the chokim davar. Ah, we have a machlokes. Yesh arm, some say nefesh mamish, and this man will be put to death. The yesh arm, some say mamon avoloi nefesh mamish. Why not? Because Reuven had no intent to kill her. Reuven wanted to kill Shimon, and this woman got in the way. This woman is collateral damage. How then can you put Reuven to death for the death of this woman? When Reuven had no intent for her. He had intent for Shimon. But he wanted to kill Shimon. He did want to kill Shimon. So what difference does it make? He wanted to kill Shimon. He killed a woman. What's the difference? Did you have intent to murder? To kill? Yes. Do we really... Is the halacha of Loi Sirtzach... Is halacha of Loi Sirtzach... demand that you succeed in your intended victim? Or is it enough to be chayfal and sirtzach with intent alone, even if you did not succeed in killing your victim? A person died, and you had intent, that's enough. Or no, the din of loy sirtzach is like a maleches machsheves. Hilchas Shabbos, You have to achieve your desired result. If you do a malacha, if you do one malacha and end up doing another malacha, you're potter. Because in Shabbos, there's a din called Meleches Machshavos. Everything has to be exactly the way you planned. And if there's one element that does not true to your plan, then you are exempt. Is there such a principle of Meleches Machshavos in the laws of Ritzicha? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah Meleches Machshavos, only says it by Shabbos. So by Ritzicha, it doesn't make a difference. If a person had intent to kill and he did an act that is lethal, and as Mazel had it that instead of killing Reuven, instead of killing Shimon, he killed Leah, he killed this woman, so be it. Good enough. V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Or maybe not. Maybe it's like Shabbos. You succeed in killing your intended person. So this is a machloikis in the Gemara, and Rashi clarifies that Rav Zeinu B'chol Medava Yeshua was saying nefesh mamish. No, there's not going to be Misa, but instead you have to pay the woman's entire value. How much would she have been worth to sell in the market? X dollar, X amount of money? That's how much she has to pay to the husband. Who gets the money? Her Yarshim. Who are her Yarshim? Her husband. He's the first Yarish. If she does not have a husband, it goes to her children, to her male children. If they don't have male, she has a male, it goes to her female children. If she has no children, then it goes to her father. She has no father, it goes to her brother. And v'chul, it goes all the whole Seder of Yerusha. Now, what's the Targum? Targum says, V'im mosa yehei, v'site nafsha cholof nafsha, no comment. Targum over here is very successful in avoiding controversy. Now we go further. Ayin tachas ayin. Eye for an eye. Shein tachas shein. Tooth for a tooth. Yod tachas yod. Regel tachas regel. Kiviyah, next pasuk. Kiviyah, burn. Tachas kiviyah. Petza tachas potza. A wound for a wound. Chabura tachas chabura. Okay, so it's going to explain all these things. Let's see over here. Unkelis. Ayin tachas. Eina cholaf. Eina. Shina cholaf. Shina. Yida cholaf. Yida. Ragla cholaf. Ragla. Kiviyah. Cholaf kivia, kivaa, cholaf kivaa, pida. That's a funny word. What's a pida? A petza. A petza, kivia is a burn. A petza is what we call a wound. How is that different than the word chabura? So here we have a funny word over here. Mashkofe, cholaf mashkofe. Okay, we're going to have to...
Laceration. Petza is like a cut, I guess. And chabura, he says, is a bruise. I guess the skin was not penetrated. I guess chabura.
Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi explains, I think, all these things. Rashi over here, going back to Ayin Tachasayin. Ayin Tachasayin. Sime Ein Chaveroi Noisim Lo Dine. When it says Ayin Tachasayin, this does not mean an eye for an eye, literally. It means mamon. So according to Rashi, one of the interpretations, when it comes to nefesh tachas nefesh, it means money. It means according to one interpretation, it means nefesh mamish. This is the difficulty. There's inconsistency. According to Rashi presented in the previous part of Vim Oson Yiyah, V'nasato nefesh tachas nefesh. Rashi presented a machloikis. According to one opinion, it means a nefesh mamish. The other opinion says, no, it means mamon. According to the opinion that says it means a nefesh mamish, then we have an inconsistency. Because now when it says in Pasuk 24 and 25, ayin tachasayin, kriya tachas kriya, everyone agrees that it means money. It doesn't mean that if you knocked out this guy's eye, we knock out your eye. Rashi, ayin tachasayin.
Wasn't it the tzedakim?
Yes.
Means literally,
The tzedakim did everything literally. Exactly. They did. I mean that was the what's the story? There was a judge. What was the story? A judge went and he said I remember the story now. The funny story of the tzedakim. All right. Anyway, listen to Rashi. Rashi, I think a sign is seen in Chaver Nois Lodim in Kama. In the market, how much is he worth? That with only one eye. Okay, so leave over here. it's kedai to take note that according to Rashi, in one of the interpretations, there's an inconsistency. When it says nefesh tachas nefesh, it means misas bezdin. But when it says the next two psukim, it means money. Now, next pasuk, kviya tachas kviya. Okay, let's see what the mikvasesh. What does the kviya mean? A burn. Person went and he caused the burn. Until now we're discussing a wound which causes a loss of value in the market. The achshav, now when we go further, there's a difference between pasuk chav dalad and chavav. Pasuk chav dalad is there's an actual loss of value if the person were to be sold as a slave. Pasuk chav hey, there is no loss of value. The slave is worth the same thing if he has a burn or does not. Petza and chamura, these things will heal and will not lose any market value. What then are you paying for? You're paying for tsar, pain, and you're paying for embarrassment, doctor bills. Adkan, until now, v'yad achshav, diber b'chavol l'sheyesh bo b'chastamim, a loss of value. V'yachshav b'she'en bo b'chastamim el tsar, g'roin kiva'o b'shvud, al tziparnov. This fellow, he caused a burn on his nail. A person suffered. He gives a new example. I don't know why I gave you this example. A person suffered a burn on his fingernail. Is that very painful? I'm not sure what he means exactly by this. Maybe he's referring to an extreme painful case, or maybe it's not so painful. You ask a person, how much is it worth for you? It's very bizarre what it says here. How much is it worth for you, for me, to cause you pain in such a way? $5? Were you willing to experience this for $5? Yeah, $5. You can go buy yourself a can of soda. Not enough? How about $10, $100? Every person is different. You make a professional evaluation of how much is this person willing to take in order to suffer this type of pain. Petza. What is a petza? He makas, whom Rashi is referring to. Now, he rashes long rashes. He amakam would see a dam. A petza is a wound where there is blood. That's called a laceration. That's the precise meaning of a laceration. Blood. Shepotza es besoroi. Okay, hakol lefi mashu. Im yesh boi pechas damim. So now he goes on to allow. If he has a loss of money, this type of wound, even though Rashi said until now we're not discussing a loss of value. But I guess when it comes to petza, there can be a loss of value. If there's a chazan, nothing nezek. Even though for lemishkov, if he can't go to work for a couple of days, you have to pay those in sheves. And you have to pay the doctor bills. Uboishes, the embarrassment, and the tsar. Umikrezeh yoserhu. This pasuk is superfluous. We can derive this on our own. Uvehachoyvel, and the mesecht of Avakam, perkachoyvel, dorshu, rabosein, l'chayvel, atzar, afil, l'mokon, nezek. The reason why this pasuk is written is for a drasha, to teach you, don't make a mistake and think that if a person, let's say, is injured and he loses his arm, so I have to now pay how much you're worth in the market with a missing arm. Once I pay that nezek, I'm done. That nezek includes everything. It includes, I don't have to pay for the sheves, for the ripui, the boishes. Once I am already paying for the difference in your value between before and after, that's it. I don't have to pay anything else. The only time I have to pay for the sheves, the ribu, the boishes, the tsar, is only when there is no nezek. No, do not make that as incorrect. Even when there is payment for nezek, in addition, you also have to pay the sheves, the ribu, the tsar, and the boishes. That payment also must be made. It's very interesting, because it's very interesting. In the world today, a person is injured. So today, people are able to get out of people from the government, get millions of dollars for psychological, for damage, and for, they make these settlements, outrageous amounts of money, which are just, where does it come from? The court awards people outrageous amounts of money for all different types of things. Is that in a Torah society, a person is injured, person has a sidewalk and it's cracked, and someone slips. In a Torah world, how much money can the person get for that? Person is injured. So let's say he was bruised. He was bruised. And, you know, he can go back to work. Can he be rewarded $1 million for the experience of falling down, calling an ambulance, going to the hospital? Some people, they get outrageous amounts of money for this. What would the Torah say about that? I have no idea. I have no idea how all this works. But one thing is interesting, though. This Rashi is telling us, this pasuk is actually teaching you that in addition to the difference of your value, you also are entitled to these other things. How that translates into the modern world, I don't know, but there's something called tsar. What is tsar? Well, our evaluation, how much are we willing to be paid in order to endure this type of tsar? Everyone has a price. For money, you can buy anything. You can even buy a sone betza. You want a judge that hates bribes? I only want the best judge, a judge that will not take a bribe. But let's say I want a judge that takes bribes. So for enough money, you can buy, it's a joke, you can buy even a sone betza you can get for money. In any event, I'm paying for your whole arm. I don't have to pay for you for the pain. I bought the whole arm. It's a whole package. No, just because you're paying for the entire arm, there are different ways to remove the arm, different ways to amputate the arm. There's a way that's painful, a way that's not painful. That is called tsar. And therefore, you get that in addition to the value of the arm, because there are different techniques that can be used which have less pain and more pain. And that difference is something you're entitled to. What's a chabura? Maka. That's a chabura is a maki. Maka chavura. That was a chavura. Oh, wait a second. Chabura with a base. In Lakewood, they have chaburas. What does that mean? They have chaburas. They beat up each other. That's wrong. In Lakewood, they are chavuros. Okay, Rabbi Orlean, Zeichel of Rachel, always say that. A chavura means a group. A group. A chabura with a dot in the base means a punch. It means a wound. The very world of a difference between the word chabura and chavura. Chavura with a vase is a group. A chabura with a dot is a group. So chabura, he makash adam mitzvah, like a black and blue mark. The Eino Yoitse Elo Shemad, the Mosak, the Losh Chabura, okay, a French word, Kobunomer Chavar Burosov, his spots. Vitargumai, oh, that's the word over here. Mashkoife, Losh Chavota, the Rain Shadufa is Kodim, it's beaten by the east wind, Shekifon Kidum. Chavuto is v'ruach v'chein al hamashko. It's a great word. The lintel, the door bangs. It bangs against this wood. Al shem shahadelish v'keshav. So here Rashi has done us a very great favor and has told us what the word really means. Go back to the Targum. What did the Targum say? The last word, mashkoife. What is a mashkoife? You shall put the blood al hamezuzos the al hamashkoif. Why is it called a mashkoif? The answer is because the door bangs against this piece of wood to stop it from going further. So here, when you take that exact same word mashkofi, Targum is translating that for the word a chabura. A chabura means a person. He banged on someone else's body, and that impact. You're hitting someone, and that impact causes a black and blue mark. Blood did not come out. Blood, it stopped with just a bang. The word petza is worse. It wasn't just a hit. It was a hit that resulted in a wound, in blood, in a laceration. A kviya is a burn. So this is a very good word over here with kiva'a, cholav kiva'a, pid'a. That obviously means a petza, which means blood. It was damage. It wasn't just an impact. And the word, the next word is chabura, means like a mashkoif. A mashkoif on the door where there wasn't damage. The door is the way it's supposed to be. But that piece of wood was hit hard. All right, we're out of time. Thank you very, very much for coming and learning with me. And I'm here, Hashem, tomorrow already is Thursday time for Oats, so late. Tomorrow we learn the Siddur. Okay, have a wonderful night. Thank you for coming, Rabbi Sam. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi Levine.
My pleasure. Good night. Ablaza, have a good night. Thank you for coming, Ablaza. Such a good person to come to every share. I feel so humbled. Mr. and Mrs. Glatter, thank you for coming. Have a good night.
Good night.
Mr. Rappaport, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Norman Forrest, how you doing?
Thank you for giving me a share.
My pleasure. Mayor, let's... Yes.
I have an interesting question.
Yes.
It's not so much a question, maybe it's Hashkop or what. When you put back the Sefer Torah during the week, by Kriyas HaTorah, we say Achenu.
Okay.
Only during the week.
Okay.
On Shabbos, we say Mishaberach, no, say Yayin Lakiddush, Abdullah. Mm-hmm. What is the basic difference of what we say on Shabbos and what we say on during the week?
Well, simply on during Achenu, Kol Beis Yisrael Hanesugim Batsara, we're dealing with tragedy, we're dealing with suffering. So Shabbos is not a time that we focus on suffering. We don't.
So
like,
you can't say Achenu on Shabbos.
Not that you can't say. It doesn't fit.
It's
just not. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos that it should be. That it should be every single week incorporated in the Nusach Atzilut to focus on Hanesunim about sorrow, Vashivya, Bein Bayom, Bein Baybasha, Amokam Yirachem Alayhem. We don't. Shabbos, Hashabbos Yimelizik. Shabbos is not a time, ideally, to focus on our problems. Shabbos, we let go of the problems, even though they don't go anywhere, they're all there, but it's not, you don't want to give it too much attention. On the other hand, the Mishaberach, Chol Misha Iskin B'Tzorchei Tzvi Be'emuna, I mean, that's Adrav, that's, you know, a chizuk. Anyone, you're trying to encourage people to busy themselves with Tzorchei Tzvi, to get a bracha. There's no mention there whatsoever of a tragedy. Sorry. But you do have the Yukon Porukon. You do mention the Avarachim. The Avarachim, it's really, you know, it's a Yizkar. Okay, but it's a memorial service. It's not a pray for current problems. Yizkar is not a pleasant thing, obviously, but it's not Yizkar. A memorial service is a memorial. It's not current. Masha hoya, kevar hoya. And we should never forget. But it's over. It's over. It happened. When it comes to Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael Hanesunim Vatzor Vashivya, it's current. Shabbos is not the time for that.
Okay, that makes sense, right?
How are you? How's everything by you?
Thank
okay,
God.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and cold outside. It's freezing outside today.
Yeah. Was Yahrzeit?
No, it's cold. It's very cold.
Oh,
it's probably a Litvische Yahrzeit. The Litvax. It's a cold day. It's a day for a cold.
Tomorrow's a big, tonight's a big Yahrzeit.
Who? Who's tonight?
Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great uncle of Meir Kahana, who's buried in Newark.
Who was
known
he?
As a Newark Rebbe, Chaim Kahana.
He was a Kanoi also?
Who?
Was he a Kanoi?
He had an oil. He came from Eretz Yisrael, and he died of COVID. He died of the Spanish flu.
In Spanish, 1918.
He died 1920.
1920, aye.
But Newark was the center of Judaism then.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
Cincinnati was a real, you know, that was a big center. All right. Yeah, that's Rabbi Lazer Silver, he built his community. Why? That's where the money was.
Well, he had, because he had the reform, right?
Right! He firmly believed.